into hour number three on this Monday, August 19, 2024 transmission. Hundreds of radio stations join us, come up in about 6 minutes, but we have this little 5 minute piece that is going out on the internet and to many stations as well. And Dr. Robert Malone got on a little early, which we appreciate him doing. He's a very busy man. And so we're going to go right to him right now. He'll give us a prelude of what's coming up. Then we'll break it all. I'm going to try to give him the floor as much as I can here today. He is probably the most influential and active person of a lot of great people, exposing what we've been through in the last 4.5+ years. And I really appreciate him coming on to respond to the audience's call to hear from a real expert about what's happening with the monkeypox and what's really going on. Now, they tried it a few years ago, so now they've rebranded it Mpox. He wants to talk about disaster cronyism and psychological bioterrorism. Also, the new book, Cywar, Enforcing the New World Order, hardcover. We're going to be talking about all of this with him. He sent us literally hundreds of documents. I mean, probably over 100 articles and documents I've been given. I'm going to try to, again, give him the floor, but just in the 4 minutes to break, sir, thank you so much for joining us. Please give us a snapshot of what you're going to be talking about.
Well, Alex, thanks a lot for having me on. And I want to honor your leadership all the way through. It's over a decade now where you've been ahead of the curve again and again. So here we have a situation very much aligned with InfoWars or psychological bioterrorism or information warfare. And in particular, right now, you want to focus on the monkeypox story. So what's fascinating is it was just disclosed a few minutes ago by the World Health Organization that the prior monkeypox emergency declaration was set to expire tomorrow. Now, when they make these emergency declarations, it gives them power and money. And so no surprise that they have contrived to come out with yet another monkeypox emergency declaration 2 days before, literally, before the last one expired. So this is a lot like the gamesmanship that's been done by the Biden administration regarding the declaration of emergency for COVID. And the truth is that what we've got here going on in the Democratic Republic of Congo or the Congo Basin is something that's been going on for a few years. There's nothing particularly unusual here, except for they are detecting more cases in surrounding countries. But this is still a variant, clade 1B is what it's called. And there's some concern that it may be more infectious, but it's still restricted to basically men who have sex with men, prostitutes, and others that are in contact with men who have sex with men that have developed cases of monkeypox. This is readily controlled, as the prior outbreak was, by just public education and getting people to, say, gently modify their behavior. This is not an international concern. It doesn't merit this, except for from the perspective of the leadership of the WHO, this gives them more power and money. And it also supports the interests of Moderna, which is trying to come out with a new vaccine, and Bavarian Nordic, which has already seen a huge pop in their stock price because they market the currently available smallpox vaccine that's been repurposed for monkeypox.
Incredible. Incredible. So stay right there. Recap that. And you're gracious to be here, sir. Please just go through that again. And I didn't even know that. I remember them declaring the monkeypox emergency a few years ago. Now they changed the name a few days before issuing a new emergency to, again, give themselves more power. Wow. This is so incredible. Learning a lot already in just a few minutes with Dr. Robert Malone. Be sure and follow him on X. We'll put that on screen and give that out on air. We'll be right back. R.W. Malone, M.D. on X. We'll be right back.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support. Well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs, only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we could not have a more informed scientist on with us who understands the science, the politics, the psychology, than Dr. Robert Malone. Be sure and follow him on X for incredible information at RW Malone MD, or just type in Robert Malone, Dr. Robert Malone. You can't miss it. He sent us a lot of documents, a lot of research, a lot of information, a huge folder. My crew gave me two other big folders, and he just dropped a bombshell if you just joined us in the last little segment. I didn't even think about this. Several years ago, the UN declared its last monkeypox emergency that was set to expire here in a few days, and right back to have all their emergency powers. They're here. They want to try to still ram through their pandemic treaty. We have all these chilling statements from Eric Schmidt, with all the AI systems saying we want to censor people that question things. We want to use NATO. We have HOTES saying use NATO to censor and troops, UN. We have the Democrats talking about this. We have England arresting political dissidents for their speech. I mean, this is real totalitarianism. Then we have the bird flu, what's really happening with that. This emergency declaration, these new mRNA vaccines getting emergency approval. Dr. Malone, recap what you said for some stations that weren't carrying us, and then please continue.
So the breaking news, as you just recapped, Alex, is that, and this is literally just out in the last few minutes, I've been tracking this because Alex and his team asked me to speak about monkeypox today. And so I did a review of the current status of monkeypox and posted that on our Substack as mpox/monkeypox summer 2024 update. And just after posting that update of the current status in science and medical stance position right now in terms of monkeypox, and particularly the clade 1B is what is being used for the latest round of fear that is emanating from the Democratic Republic of Congo. So this is the Deep Congo. And by the way, monkeypox is a zoonotic infection. It's endemic in the DRC. It exists in a variety of animal reservoirs, one of which, of course, is monkeys. And we're never going to eradicate monkeypox. There seems to be a genetic variant circulating. It's unclear how long it's been circulating. Might have been at least 2 years, that may be somewhat more infectious in the susceptible population of individuals. Who's the susceptible population of individuals? Well, basically, across the board, if you look at, for instance, the Pasteur Institute and virtually all other responsible public health authorities, the people that are at risk for monkeypox are men who have sex with men, prostitutes, and others that are in close contact with men who have sex with men who've become infected by monkeypox. You are not at risk if you're not somebody who has sex with men, or, you know, a man who has sex with men, or in close contact with those individuals. And another thing, all of the fear that's stoked around this, you would think that this is essentially Ebola 2.0, that if you get monkeypox, it's going to kill you like smallpox. That's not true. Again and again and again, the statements from leading, well-recognized public health experts across the world, except for those that are busy promoting fear porn, is that this is not a lethal infection. There's a small number of cases in the DRC, perhaps 500 cases in the DRC of people that have died with monkeypox. And this is much very much alike to the situation with the COVID coronavirus, where they mix up people that were infected with COVID at the time that they died with actually COVID causing those deaths. You know, this is, as I said so long ago on Joe Rogan, if somebody comes into Chicago hospital with a gunshot wound to the head and they manage to get a positive PCR, they attribute his death to COVID. Same situation with monkeypox. So the total of 500 cases, maybe that's disputed. The Pasteur says about 150 over the last few years of death from monkeypox. This is not going to kill you. And it's readily controlled by behavioral modification. And the repurposed vaccine that exists from the Belgian company Bavarian Nordic, that was originally designed for smallpox, is leaky. It has a partial effect on clade 2 monkeypox. We don't know if it's effective against clade 1 monkeypox, but the stock valuation of Bavarian Nordic is going through the roof, and Moderna has a new vaccine in testing, et cetera, et cetera. And then the kicker was, well, you know, why are they suddenly ramping up the fear porn just now? And it's MSMs that are responsible for this. Why are they ramping it up right now? Just disclosed shortly before our broadcast today was that their prior emergency declaration of pandemic, global pandemic concern was set to expire on the 20th, ergo tomorrow. And so if that expires, then they would lose the additional funding and powers that they get through the international health regulations. This is one of these things they've been fighting over together with the new pandemic treaty, quote unquote, to get still additional powers. Well, those powers would have expired tomorrow. And so no surprise, they've come out with this new announcement after convening literally a Zoom meeting a couple of days ago with 15 or 16 people that they've hand selected, who all agreed unanimously that this needs to be re-upped, that we need to have yet another declaration of a public health, global public health concern associated with monkeypox on the basis of these little fragments of data having to do with clade 1B that's circulating in the DRC. So that's what's going on. This is another power play, and that leads into disaster capitalism, as Naomi Klein calls it, or disaster cronyism, because I refuse to call this capitalism. And this process that was disclosed in 2017 by a former SVR Russian intelligence agent now based in New Zealand, that he called information bioterrorism. And he laid out a series of steps that are well-known spycraft throughout the world to basically exploit the fear of infectious disease for a variety of purposes, financial, power, and otherwise. And we're basically right along the same script that was deployed for SARS-CoV-2 and COVID, now being actively deployed in a second round for monkeypox. And of course, exactly what we saw play out with avian influenza. But unfortunately, in the case of avian influenza, the actual science hasn't fit with their model for how to play one of these psychological bioterrorism events. And so it appears that they've had to kind of pivot. Now, does this have anything to do with the election? Your speculation is as good as mine. We'll see what they do with this over the next few months. But there's no question in my mind that this, quote, emergency declaration that has been made by the World Health Organization is yet another example of disaster cronyism and psychological bioterrorism on the part of Tedros. And his kind of alarmism isn't even mirrored by his own internal people that are on the ground that acknowledge in interviews that this is not a lethal disease. It's not particularly infectious unless you are in that special category, that it's the special category that's at risk here.
And Dr. Just interrupt briefly.
Readily managed.
What you're saying is totally prima facie. It's on its face. You sent me literally three huge stacks of documents here, and I don't know which you know angle you want to go, because there's so much. Everything you're saying, you sent me the reports, the studies, the proof, because as you're speaking, I'm looking at it and seeing it here. But I'm not a rocket scientist, but if they admit that 99% in UN studies, WHO, CDC, British studies, 99% are homosexual or bisexual men who have all these partners that are doing really dangerous things, and then they're fear-mongering it like the end of the world right as their last emergency declaration for monkeypox goes away. They rebrand it as Mpox. I mean, this is just incredibly transparent. And as you said, the medical literature says not a danger basically to anybody except for lifestyle. And then when you turn on the national news, they go, it's not a gay thing. It's actually super deadly. And then they had this drill 2 years ago that these governments put on where tens of millions die from the monkeypox. I mean, none of it makes sense when you're looking at it.
Actually, it's 3 years ago, just to be to correct you. Sorry, but you're exactly right. This was another agenda. Just as occurred with the COVID crisis.
Sure. So I just said a lot. Unpack that, because you're the expert.
So there absolutely was a another one of these war games that played out in Germany 3 years ago, exactly 1 year, almost to the day before the prior, quote, outbreak that was associated with the largest gay rave party in the world. And no surprise when monkeypox was, let's say, somehow entered that population in the midst of that gay rave party, it suddenly spread explosively all over the world in those populations that engage in those practices. So that was anticipated literally precisely a year prior in a war game that was held in Germany, much as Event 201 amazingly precisely anticipated the events of the COVID crisis. And this gets to Kosimov's thesis. And he gave this interview in 2017 to a New Zealand journal. And this was following on the prior bird flu outbreak and fear porn campaign that was, you, some of you may remember. And he basically laid out a series of steps and roles that are used to wind up this kind of fear and exploit it for other purposes, typically economic power, political disruption, et cetera, that this is basically well-known spycraft that is just being followed to the letter again and again. And then we have the whole history of Mr. Tedros, who has deep roots essentially in African terrorism and close connections with Bill Gates and with the CCP, who's been placed into this position and then had his position renewed by acclamation, no actual vote, of Director General of the World Health Organization. And I assert that he is clearly, explicitly engaging in psychological bioterrorism, the weaponization of fear of infectious disease as an existential crisis in order to affect various political and financial and power objectives. That is what he does routinely. Psychological bioterrorism is wrong. It's clearly wrong. It's clearly unethical. And it's clearly practiced on a routine basis by the current Director General of the World Health Organization.
Please continue elaborating on that.
So psychological bioterrorism is the weaponization of fear associated with infectious diseases. And it's typically irrational fear. It's the fear of death. This is one of the most powerful means of manipulating individuals psychologically, is to confront them with the fear of death. And that is what was used all the way through the COVID crisis in order to promote these various policies that no one can dispute resulted in the most massive upward transfer of wealth in modern history, and the promotion of a variety of different outcomes, which we describe at length in this new book that's going to come out on the 8th from Skyhorse Publishing, called Cywar, Enforcing the New World Order. This is right in line with the InfoWars core thesis that you, Alex, have been talking about for decades now, that we are being subjected to information warfare. That is what psychological warfare or fifth generation warfare is. And this has now come to a stage of development in which, yes, Rockefeller is at the core of this historically, but this has come to a stage of advanced development as a technology platform that is able to control all information and your feelings, your belief systems, your very thoughts. And it interfaces with this other important technological advance and business advance, which is often referred to now as surveillance capitalism. This is the business model that drives Google, Facebook, Amazon, and all of social media, in which your thoughts, feelings, emotions, etc., are extracted from all of your online activities, what you say, what you think, what you click on. It's extracted and then reformulated without your permission into behavioral futures that are then sold. And they are sold, among other things, to various political organizations, et cetera. I mean, we saw this play out with the prior campaigns, and it's playing out in abundance with the current one. And then they use that information, whether it's to sell you soap or cars or politicians or policies such as central bank digital currency and all of the trappings associated with this new world order that's being promoted. And so what you have is this loop in which they're extracting your belief system, your thoughts and feelings, and then using that to manipulate you psychologically because they know what your hot buttons are. Dr. Epstein has documented this quite well in the case of Google, where he's been able to clearly demonstrate that for an undecided voter, Google is able to swing the voting behavior of an undecided voter by 20 points through their algorithmic selection of what they present to you when you click onto the browser or make various inquiries. This is the same tech they use to sell you all these other things. And it's all based on the ability to extract your emotions and thoughts and belief systems, and then repackage it and sell it to third parties that want to use it for whatever it is that their objectives are. So that's this do loop that's happening now. And one of the most powerful tools in the weaponry for psychological manipulation of individuals is the fear of death. This is one of our most powerful fears. And so the fear of death can easily be used or weaponized by linking it to infectious disease. And that's what's being done on a routine basis. That's what Kasimov taught us about in terms of spycraft. And that's what we're seeing play out on a routine basis right now in real time with all the events that we've seen with the COVID crisis, what's been done with avian influenza, what's now being done with monkeypox, and so many other things, anthropomorphic climate change. I mean, we're just seeing layers and layers of the utilization of weaponized fear
and doctor,
in order to psychologically manipulate people.
I want you to continue on to talk about how you think you counter this, but everything you're saying for new viewers is on record in Canada, in the U.S., in the U.K., in Europe. They ran headlines later, a year later, when they started all this saying, oh, the military helped terrorize the public using psychological warfare with the media to make you stay in and make you take your shots. Then they lied and said the shots were good. That was all a lie. I mean, this is beyond just trying to extract our minds and our money. They want to control the whole economy for social engineering. And I didn't look in a crystal ball. I was reading Operation Lockstep 14 years ago from the Rockefeller Foundation, saying they would do all this. I was reading the books written by them. Lou Dobbs got the secret documents. Judicial Watch did in 2006, where they met in Banff, Canada. They said, we're going to use a virus scare to bring in world government. I mean, that's really their Achilles heel, though, is they talk about us like we're little kids at the at the little kid table at Thanksgiving, and they're the big kids, the adults. I mean, they just basically admit all this stuff. Now, in the pop culture, they don't. They put the lies out. But the fine print, they talk about us like we're animals. And for me, it's so frustrating to see this happening. But thank God, real professionals, real scientists, I mean, the who's who of real scientists have come out by the tens of thousands, despite the persecution, and stood against this. So as negative and depressing as this all is, before we get back into more of this and solutions and some of the other things that are happening, all these new studies about the sole cause of the increased heart failure is the shots and these big studies.
Yeah.
I think this didn't go as well as they wanted. I think they've had, in fact, I know they have been really overplayed their hand. Do you agree with that? And how would you describe it?
Well, they have overplayed their hand. And I've heard through back channels that some leading people, even in the Gates Foundation, have had cardiac damage and other adverse events associated with these products.
Wow.
Forgive me, somebody is pestering me.
I understand how it is.
use of this infectious disease event, which was grossly overplayed, and that's now documented quite well, has compromised public trust in health, in medicine, in government, all across the world. It's played a major role in the rise of these populist movements, particularly throughout the Western nations. And they haven't reached critical mass yet because, in part, because these technologies for manipulating public opinion and public behavior. But the anger is just building and building and building. And we saw an outbreak of that recently, an expression of it in the UK under Starmer, as you noted in your opening here. They have successfully suppressed that through arrests for Facebook and other social media crimes having to do with just reposting information about those protests and those riots that occurred.
Thought crime.
But this is not going to be sustainable. And that's where we're at, is all of this is coming to a head, and it's becoming increasingly not just totalitarian, but authoritarian and backed by power, military might. Direct action against civilian populations, not just psychological warfare, which is incredibly powerful now, but also physical beatings and other actions against protesters. That's
and debanking
at.
And everything else. Stay right there.
Oh, yeah.
And again, this whole thing is surveilling us. Yeah, it sells us soap and cars. It also sells us shots that give us cancer and cause heart attacks. And then they try to ban and block and persecute scientists that have exposed it and been vindicated. Dr. Robert Malone's our guest. Back in 4 minutes. Alex Jones here with a call of action, a call to action for all the patriots out there watching or listening to this transmission. We can't fight the globalists without your support. And I can't think of an organization or group out there other than President Trump that has had more of an effect against the New World Order than this operation. And that's because of the grace of God and your support and our intrepid crew. And I'm asking you now, at a critical time going into this election, when the enemy is trying to shut everybody down and put everybody in prison, to double down and support the broadcast more than ever, to share the articles, the videos, the links, and to get the products at InfoWarsStore.com. So, 2.5 years ago, one of our great supporters and sponsors came forward and said, you ought to sell collectible cards with a little ingot of gold in it. These are very, very popular. And I went and looked it up online. It is very, very popular. It's not an investment. It's a collectible. If you want to get gold or silver and get the best prices on it, that's Dr. Kirk Elliott and KEPM.com/gold. Best group out there, highest ratings, amazing prices, the best. This is a collectible and a memento to know you supported the broadcast. Then the bankruptcy started, and the people that came in from the court said, we're not going to keep outside people's products in here in your store. And they kicked them back to the folks, despite the fact we'd already sold out of half of these in just a month. Well, now that I'm back in control of the company, and now that InfoWars itself is not in bankruptcy, I am able to offer these again, and this will help keep us on air. InfoWars has teamed up with one of the nation's leading mints to help you acquire this 24-carat .999 pure gold without paying thousands of dollars an ounce. Stock up on 24-carat .999 pure gold in the most popular size of 1/10 gram in an affordable, sleek card that fits your wallet, drawer, glove compartment, and is easy to travel with. They're amazing cards. It's got original art I came up with. It's got the little bar of gold in there. And it just lets you know that you supported the InfoWar. You'll have a historical memento as a keepsake for yourself, for your family, for your children, and your grandchildren. Because this is a historic fight. And this is a true piece of Americana that we have here. So I'm very, very proud of it. Again, we sold out of half of these a couple years ago. They got put back to the company that paid to have them made. Now that I'm back in control, they shipped them back into our warehouse, and the other half are available right now. I would imagine they'll sell out in a month or so. We've only got a few thousand of these left, and I cannot fund this operation without you doing this. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not telling you to buy this as a gold investment. That's not what this is. It's a little piece of gold in there. This is like on NPR, and it still gets taxpayer money. They'll sell a coffee mug that costs them $5 or a baseball cap that costs them $10, and you make a $100 donation, and you get that as a memento that you supported communism and the New World Order. I know you don't want to do that. This costs, I think they told me, more than $10 per card, something like that, $10 or $11. And so the other $80-something dollars will go to fund the operation. We need these funds to continue on in the fight. So get your collectible card, your piece of art with the little piece of gold in it today, and you will help keep us on air. The decision is yours. This is a limited edition. It's something that people like. It's popular, and it's something that's collectible. But regardless, the real value is knowing you stood up for America at such a critical time that myself and President Trump and others are under such massive, massive, massive levels of attack. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and get the exclusive InfoWars Limited Edition proprietary 24-carat 999 pure gold collectible. Thank you for your support. Get this collectible now and help keep us on air.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I... Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So, we've got our deadly disease. Now, we just have to blame it.
Our guest, and my biggest frustration is also my biggest hope. If I can go read these books and white papers written by these mad scientists, and I know where it all came from, with the Austrian and Hungarian Empire and the British Empire 200 years ago, roughly, saying science is the future. We want to use it for total control. And then they just have been funding all these scientists and mad scientists, mixing in a bunch of eugenics worldviews. And now you've got Yuval Noah Harari and all the Bill Gates saying the future's not human and we need to just get rid of this human culture and people are worthless. It's a nightmare. They are trying to take control of our evolution to create a new super sapien, in their own words. We need to organize and say, you're not taking control of our lives. This is beyond slavery. And that's their master plan. So doctor, your new book is coming out very, very soon. I can't wait to read it. You can speak to the book now, or you can finish up with solutions, which I think the book is a big part of, PsyWar, psychological war, enforcing the new world order. Where would you like to start this segment?
Well, let's just launch, since this is what you've got up on the screen. The book is intended as a tool basically to help you protect yourself. By understanding the methods and technologies and the why of the deployment of these methods on all of us, what I hope is that I can help those that are awake and listening to become much more resistant to these technologies, just the same as the whoever you are now. Whenever you were born, you remember back when you were young, you were much more vulnerable to marketing technologies. Marketing is the kissing cousin to these kinds of psychological manipulations. And by learning how they do it, why they do it, how it's deployed, I'm hoping that you will become much more resistant to this. It's essentially armor for your mind, is the way one reviewer described it. So that's the general purpose of the book, is to help you to be better prepared and more resistant for these various psychological manipulation techniques. But Alex, I want to, you seem to be, you know, we must be resonating somehow. I'm just back from lecturing at the Liberty Forum in Silicon Valley on psychological warfare and these things like surveillance capitalism that are going on. And one of the hot topics there among those that I spoke with, had dinner with, et cetera, is the coming event associated with the development of artificial intelligence beyond a point in which the AIs and general AIs will become essentially much more intelligent than the likes of all of us as human beings. And what does that mean? What is really behind that? And the logic that Elon Musk thinks he's going to have a deployable AI-empowered robots within the next couple of years at a $20,000 price point for all of us who don't want to wash the dishes or vacuum the carpet. It also relates to the use of drones in warfare. They're now deploying artificial intelligence into drones, making them autonomous so they can't be disrupted by blocking satellite communications, etc., and giving them the power to make kill decisions autonomously. This technology is clearly being pioneered in the Ukraine right now. That's probably part of why the whole thrust in Ukraine is to further develop artificial intelligence and the surrounding weaponry as additional tools of war for the U.S. military and NATO. So we're moving to a world, as you point out, where the WEF or the leadership within the WEF or the 1,000 largest companies in the world, or however you want to express that cabal that exists, there's no question it exists. How are they seeing the world? Yuval Harari gives us a window into that. And it seems to be that they are buying into, many within Silicon Valley are buying into the thesis that the human species is obsolete, that we've done a bad job of taking care of our stewardship of the globe, and that it's a good idea to replace humankind with a human machine or purely machine fusion in a world in which we'll upload our avatars, et cetera. And that may be what's driving some of this right now. I used to be very wary about talking about depopulation agendas until I read the Kissinger report and saw it in black and white. this we are moving into a situation within the next couple of years in which these very large corporations, or virtually anybody who has significant manufacturing capacity, can produce incredibly powerful weaponry, that being weaponized drones run by artificial intelligence, and basically field their own armies. That's where we're heading. And the belief is apparently that, you know, we hear these words like useless eaters, but a large part of the human population will be redundant. It's not needed. It's not necessary in order to contribute to economic activity. Much of the manufacturing capacity will become fully autonomous. And what are you going to do with all those folks? Well, somehow you got to bridge from here to there, and you got to reduce the population because it's going to be unnecessary. And furthermore, it's increasingly perceived as redundant that humankind has really not contributing is anticipated to not contribute to this new future driven by machines that are more capable of processing information than the likes of you and I. And what's really behind this is the belief that what makes us human is our cognition. It's our ability to think. But that's not true. All of us know in our hearts that that's not the case. There's something else called the soul. And artificial intelligence doesn't have soul. It's what that is really what makes us human, is things like soul and love and companionship and community. And they may think, because they live in a world that's often psychopathic, where they're narcissistic and they're surrounded by other narcissists, and they don't really care about other human beings. They don't find them necessary. This is the classical computer scientist stereotype. And I think that, for instance, Bill Gates, just to take a person, very much embodies this kind of psychological state in which it's all about Bill and the rest of us are largely unnecessary.
He's an archetype.
Perceived as things to be manipulated.
You're right. Just to add something here, I want you to finish your point, but this is key. I've studied the different arms of this. There's a lot of arms, but the two main ones are kind of a Theodore Kaczynski-type globalist elite, and they kind of have both philosophies at the same time. They're creating a dialectic, a Hegelian synthesis of this, that think AI is too dangerous and the technology will get out of hand, and the globalists, some of them believe it will destroy them. So they say, we want to take over, have world government to shut all this technology down. So kind of like saying we need world government to stop nuclear war, but then that's not the dominant group anymore. Maybe it never was. Then there's the other group saying, forget that. We're going to become gods, merge the machines. The future's not human. And they've just decided to have an arms race with all these AIs. We're already in the AI war with a group of humans that believe they're taking control of their own evolution and are about to transcend, and they're not about to let all these vermin eat up the resources before they're engaged in this transcendence.
I concur. We're kind of splitting humanity into pro-humanity and anti-humanity camps, people that don't believe in humankind. And those that don't believe in humankind, that have bought into the thesis that we've mismanaged the globe and it's appropriate that our time should be over, is a large fraction, if not the dominant fraction, of the community that we collectively call Silicon Valley, and the leadership of the World Economic Forum, which is largely structured around the likes of BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, Fink, et al., that perceive all of us in a very Machiavellian frame of reference that's driven by profit and power and control. And they really discount what makes us human and the value of humankind. And I think this is what it comes down to, is, are you pro-human? Or are you anti-human? And if you're anti-human, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have a role in the dialogue. We have to come together, those of us that are pro-human. set aside our differences, recognize what's going on here, and fight like hell, because what's coming at us is very well capitalized and extremely threatening. And as I have been talking to folks and trying to think about how to reduce this down to some simple concepts, when you really think about this business model of surveillance capitalism coupled with psychological warfare, what you have is the business of capturing souls, stealing souls without your permission, because they're stealing the essence of what makes you through surveillance capitalism.
And they're taking you over very young and putting you into like a false metaverse.
The training and the education, quote unquote, et cetera, et cetera. They're stealing souls and they're reselling them, and then they're manipulating them, okay? And I never thought 3 years ago that I would be using terms like evil, but there doesn't seem to be language other than the language of faith to describe what's happening in humanity right now. And I want to try to have a little bit of a bright side on this. If you admit to the existence of evil, which I think many of us increasingly are using that language and framing our understanding of what's going on in the world in those terms.
Organized evil.
The counterpoint to evil is love and good. And we as communities need to remember that. Need to remember that we should come together, those of us that are pro-human, and celebrate our humanity and the things that give us joy and pleasure, and not in a perverse way. And a lot of those have to do with these classical principles of ethics, how to exist in the world with other humans, and the importance of loving each other and celebrating our community. And so we can come up with a lot of biblical quotes to make that point. I love the one, "What shall it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul?" And that's what's happening right now, is there is an active theft and manipulation of souls. And if you use that language, and just for the sake of argument, go with me as a metaphor, what is the metaphor that exists in communities of faith to describe this kinds of processes that sweep over humanity from time to time? We call this demonic or the devil. And I don't want to get too literal. That's going to put off some people, but I think it's really helpful to think about that as a metaphor, demonic and the devil and your soul and what's being done with these modern technologies to manipulate you, weaponize the information about you, and use it for market purposes.
Revelation, just interrupt, says that in the end times, the beast system, a worldwide government that makes you submit and worship it to be able to buy and sell, the global social credit score, that it will then finally traffic in the souls of men and women, literally owning us. And studying the globalists, I want you to speak to this, making some really central points. They don't respect us if we won't even read their own writings and then resist them and organize against them. We have to admit this is happening. And in a sick way, if we don't organize against it and let them do it, then it kind of proves that those people were willing to sell their soul or never activated their soul. And so this really is humans with their destiny to choose free will. But if you don't use your free will, you don't have it. And we know also everything we're being sold is to end humanity. It's not like what they're giving us is even empowering us. It's all shiny, but at every level, it betrays us and kills us. And it really is an organized evil force. You can say it's a part of the brain if you don't believe in God, and we're all electrochemically connected, and there's some weird survival instinct that makes certain people
something
do this.
Something fundamental in humankind. Whatever it is,
yeah,
it has persisted over millennia. If you want to take a literalist view of the Bible, you could say it represents the accumulated human wisdom of multiple civilizations over millennia. But this phenomena that we're now living through has happened again and again and again. And within that volume, whether you consider it to be divine revelation or accumulated wisdom of millennia, within it is guidance for how to overcome this beast, this force, this darkness. All of that comes back around to issues of community, fellowship, respect, and of course, these core pillars of family and respect, humility, these core philosophical positions that have proven to be successful in enabling successful civilizations. And I think that there is probably wisdom within that discipline that we often discount because we, you know, it's not trendy right now to talk about religion and theology.
But it's coming back. There are no atheists in foxholes, and we know organized religion's got big problems. Yes. And I'm not selling that. But you're right. These are fundamental things we do. And I personally call it space aliens, whatever you want. The Bible's pretty clear. Like, there's the big God that made it all. There's these bad guys that are here. They're right past visual light. They're manipulating our brains. They're trying to get us to basically build things for them, and they get rid of us. I have kind of a, you know, science fiction-esque view of it. And I go back to what they were talking about in the other Sumerian text and the Indian, you know, text. I mean, it's the same story. And the Mesoamericans and I. Yes. So, I mean, I think it's pretty clear what's going on. There's an outside force manipulating us that has a different plan for us than what we were designed to do with the free will programming that the big creator, you know, made us, and we basically have, you know, an infection.
Alex, I love your point that if we don't resist, we basically validate their thesis. We empower them if we don't wake up and do something about it. I was talking to a colleague here that's actually flown out from Silicon Valley to talk to me about some new ideas he has about how to push back on this. And he makes the point that if we don't resist, they'll continue to push until we do so. We must resist. We must demonstrate to them that we will not concede to their manipulations. We won't allow this. We won't permit it. And that is going to require a level of rising up, whatever you want to call it, protest, resistance, a lot of different words. But it's kind of, if it's not now, when? Because that singularity of the threshold with artificial intelligence and general intelligence is coming at us at something like a 1 to 2 year horizon. And once we cross that horizon, that may be the end of the line for humanity as we know it.
And Dr. Malone, you're saying such profound things that I 100% resonate with. We're simpatico because we're researching and just studying. And I know you've got to go, and I've got Gerald Celente coming up. But if we can do five more minutes the next hour, I have a few questions from callers earlier. They want to know about, ask Dr. Malone about ways to detox from the shots. Now, there's a lot of thought and research going into that, but I want you to just briefly go back to, this is what I've been told by high-level folks, and I'll just leave it at that, and it's actually come out in the news. A lot of ultra-rich people, people in the system, billionaires are having heart attacks. Elon Musk's brother got really sick. That kind of woke him up along with him grabbing his son and sterilizing him. Can you briefly speak to what you're hearing from people that thought they were protected and are now finding out this is... this is a death cult. This is going after almost everybody.
So we're going to do that after the break.
We've still got a few minutes, so let's hit the Gates thing and then the vaccine detox thing after.
Yes. Yeah, so as you say, this is not selective, and a case can be made that Mr. Biden may even be a victim of this with his rapid cognitive decline. We have a variety of symptoms, including central nervous system problems, cardiac problems, blood coagulation problems. And anytime you have this kind of a distributed, decentralized response to, in this case, largely spike protein with an overlay of the toxicity associated with these lipid nanoparticles and their biodistribution. And by the way, reproductive toxicology is quite clear also. We didn't even touch on that. And you may recall the disclosures regarding the Pfizer belief system around the origins of the reproductive harms, in which it was mentioned by I think it was a global director of vaccine development or mRNA vaccine development from Pfizer, that it was the belief of Pfizer that the damage that was being done was to the pituitary hypothalamic adrenal axis, which is to say your endocrine system. So don't forget that there's endocrine damage going on. And this is really cascading. And of course, then there is the delayed effects associated with cancer and what is being termed turbo cancer that was early documented by my friend Ryan Cole, who's been just wickedly attacked for doing so. But it's increasingly normalized that we are seeing a profile of extremely aggressive and often recurring cancers that weren't seen before the deployment of the jab. And then, of course, there's unequivocally these data having to do with excess all-cause mortality. The only data signal that has any integrity right now is how frequently people die. And because that can't generally be manipulated by the government or by the CDC or by physicians or other healthcare providers. So when you look at those data, it's clear that you don't have a big surge in excess deaths or excess all-cause mortality with the onset of the viral infections. Even though the early infections with Wuhan 1 were the most severe, you're seeing it after the deployment of the jab. And this is, as you say, starting to cascade into all socioeconomic groups that have gone ahead and accepted the product, except for those that were given special versions of the products or were allowed to not take the product, such as members of Congress.
And by the way, that's come out that in Australia and a bunch of other places, the Pfizer and other employees, they got a special shot.
Yep. Yeah, that's not a conspiracy. That's not a lie. And it clearly demonstrates how deeply manipulative all this has been.
It shows it's premeditated. We got to go to break, sir. Dr. Robert Malone, I could talk to you for 5 hours. I know you're very, very busy. We should do a commercial-free show anytime you want to tape it. Then I'll air it on the show, but put it on hold. Or I'd love to have you just come do a presentation. Best info out there. Back in 2 minutes.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that turmeric does incredible things for inflammation, your joints, your immune system, your whole body. Well, we came out with Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula 6 years ago. And I was wanting to come up with a turmeric formula, so I talked to some of the big suppliers. I said, what's the strongest curcuminoid you have? And they said, it's like 75%. Regular turmeric's just raw, 4 or 5% still has a great effect. I said, well, what's the strongest concentrate you can make? They came back a few months later and they said, 95%. This is it. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, been sold out for months. Back in stock is 95% curcuminoid, and it does incredible things for your body. You know, my wife's a big sports person. She's in great shape, plays tennis, lifts weights all day, but she has joint pain. And years ago, she was taking these horse pills of turmeric. She'd take 3 or 4, would give her relief. I said, try this. She looked at the back. She said, this is lower milligrams. I said, yeah, but that's because it's concentrate. She took it. She said one pill had the effect of the big 4 horse pills she was taking. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing product. It's back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's not just the 95% curcuminoid. It's organic spearmint, sage, lemon balm, and thyme leaves, pepperine from black pepper. So it's an amazing formula. It's exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. And it could be our last run. They're trying to shut us down. And please don't take that for granted. We get shut down, people go, whoa, he wasn't BSing. On my children, I'm not BSing. We're close to being shut down. We need support right now. Plus, these are great products. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com. This is going to sell out. Please support the broadcast. Get in other products. Get T-shirts, books, films. We need support now. These are great products. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your action. InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.